Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 and the Game. Hey, we're asking, we had a poll up about the Final Four this morning, which you can hear exclusively on Sports Radio 92.9 the Game. Our coverage of both games starts at 4:30 tomorrow. And the question is simple. What teams will advance and play for Monday's national championship? What will the matchup be? Will it be Virginia and Texas Tech, Virginia and Michigan State? Which, of course, everybody think it'll be Virginia and Michigan State. Well, not everybody, but I'm just saying the Vegas is saying, Hugh, Virginia and Michigan State, they're the two favorites to meet. But then again, what's gone right so far? For a chalk tournament, this went unchalky real fast.
Yeah, and I think I'm rooting for a different matchup. I don't know which one I am.
All right, so here are the possibilities. Do you want to see Virginia, Texas Tech, right? Virginia, Michigan State, Auburn, Texas Tech, which would be the outlier, of course, and Auburn, Michigan State.
I like chaos, so I'm gonna go Auburn, Texas Tech. I'm gonna go that one, and especially since we're down here in the South, because I'm pretty sure the Auburn fans will be out. But I don't know how that's gonna play nationally, because that's gonna be the thing. Because you know there are gonna be some that are going to vow or swear that they're not going to watch the championship game because it's these two teams. It's not the blue blood teams.
I'm probably not telling any SEC fans something they don't know, but the reason I'm rooting for Auburn versus Michigan State, and this is, hey, look, Texas Tech, Virginia fans, I got no real dog in this hunt, so I don't really, I mean, if you win it, I'm going to applaud you on Tuesday morning. But the reason I think I'm rooting for Auburn and Michigan State is one of the unspoken things, and I think the SEC knows it, the Big Ten just despises the SEC. I mean, they hate the SEC. And I want to see those two. Right? You know, the ACC and the SEC, you know, battle each other all the time. I get that. But, man, does the Big Ten hate the SEC. And so the idea of Big Ten versus SEC as a matchup either in football or basketball, to me, is a good thing. So I always want to see those
I could definitely see where you're coming from with that, because that's probably be the one where you can get bragging rights on the basketball court.
Right.
But when you think about it, though, John, I mean, the fact, I would think that the Big Ten would probably get the nod in basketball, even though their conference has been down a little bit. They play well in this tournament this year. They play pretty good in this tournament this year.
It's a great basketball league historically, too.
Yeah, yeah. And SEC, really, outside of what, Florida? About what, 10 years ago or something like that?
And the continuation of Kentucky.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I keep forgetting about Kentucky. I digress, but they haven't won one in a while. They haven't won one with Coach Calipari, have they?
Yeah, they won one.
You're right. Excuse me. They won one. Yeah. You're right.
No, I mean, so it's been a minute since anybody not named Kentucky or Florida, okay?
Yes.
Let's put it that way. Been a little while. But anyway, that's the one I'm kind of rooting for, and we'll see what happens. And you can go to @929TheGame. On our Twitter, and vote in the poll, what matchup do you want to see in the national title game? Now, yesterday in the midday show, Andy Bunker and Brian McFadden, A-Bunk and B-Mac, right?
B-Mac.
Okay. They're just chatting away, and they throw something out about the Hawks that made Hugh and I kind of go, huh? All right. So this is what they said, and we're going to react to it, and we want you to react to it, too. Go ahead.
So let's just say, hypothetically, that they don't get the number one pick. They end up with here. I'll simulate the lottery on Tankathon, and the Hawks get the number four pick.
Mm-hmm.
And the team that ends up with the number one pick, again, hypothetically, but let's say, okay, we'll trade you the number one pick, which we understand is Zion, yeah, right? The number one pick in the draft this year is Zion Williamson. We'll part with the number one pick for your pick, which is number four, and John Collins. Is that too much to ask?
Is that too much to ask? And they went on and discussed whether or not the Hawks would trade John Collins in the number four for the number one. And the question is, would you trade the number one pick? It's two questions, Hugh. If you had the number one pick, would you trade it for John Collins in four? And all right, let's just start with that question first. All right, you're the Knicks. You have the number one pick. Would you trade it for John Collins in four?
If I'm the Knicks?
Yes.
I would say no. I think Zion Williams has everybody enamored with his ability. And I think that the Knicks, they need a star. I don't think John Collins moves the meter going to New York for them.
Right. I totally agree. I mean, if you did that, there'd be a riot in Manhattan, okay? Now let's ask the second question that they were posing. If you were the Hawks, would you trade John Collins in the four pick for the shot at Zion Williamson?
No.
No is the answer I would come up with, too.
I think, honestly, John, I look at the chemistry that John Collins and Trae Young are having right now. That's what you want. That's what you. That's how you want to build a team. Burton Head beat two in the bush. That's my feeling on that. Zion Williamson, even though he's the most
celebrated
meter moving individual that's coming out in this draft, there's been too many individuals that have been drafted in that same spot that we haven't even heard of or haven't heard from again at that position. Now, I know that he's drawn a lot of comparisons to LeBron James, and everybody's looking for that second LeBron James. And I think that he's going to be a good pro. I really do. I just don't think that you should take that chance and upset the apple cart of something that you have going right now with John Collins and Trae Young. I just don't think that you should do that.
And I know people out there going, are you out of your mind? You could have Trae Young and Zion Williamson, and you could get big-name free agents and whatnot to come in here and be part of this team. No, I'm not out of my mind. First off, number four, if that was the case, is going to be obviously a pretty good player. But John Collins, you're misunderstanding exactly how good John Collins is. I'm not saying he's Zion Williamson, but he's pretty darn good. And he fits with Trae. And yes, there would be the attraction, and everybody would be excited. But look, the trade's not going to happen because nobody in their right mind, if I had the number one pick and I traded Zion Williamson for anything short of the Greek Freak, I would be, you know, run out of town. You know, I mean, that I can't imagine anybody. If I'm the Knicks, I'm asking Milwaukee for the Greek Freak in their next two number one picks, you know, I mean, or in the next three. I mean, that's what the value of Zion Williamson is off the charts.
Yeah, I think that he's a valuable player, but I think that what you have with the Hawks here now, I think they're going to be pretty good.
I really do.
I really do.
And I don't want to upset anything. This is my point, is that, it's an interesting concept that Andy threw out there with BMAC, and they discussed it. I mean, here's my thing. I believe firmly that the future of this town is very bright, that the Braves have a very bright future with this team, whether it works out this year or not. But when you're looking at Acuna, one of the reasons, now you got to sign Ozzie Albies. That's another big thing, and we'll talk with Joe Patrick about that coming up in about 15 minutes, our Braves reporter. You got to sign Ozzie Albies to a long-term deal. You got to get this done. Would you trade this trade? I mean, you'd be almost foolish not to because you get Zion Williamson and you get all this pop and whatnot. But I think the Hawks are on such a great trajectory right now, Hugh. Why do you want to deviate from the plan? Don't.
I don't think you should either, John. That's why I was like, nah. I understand, you know, for a lot of people, Zion Williamson is a shiny new toy, and he's somebody that you look at that, and you think that automatically he's going to, you know, come to the NBA and be that player that instantly makes your team better. That's not a given. That's not a given. Now, there's nothing that this young man has done to make me think that he won't come in and be an impact player in the NBA, but – to have something that you already building the chemistry and the, you know, getting to know somebody and just building that bond, I wouldn't want to upset that. I definitely would not want to upset that.
Yeah, everybody says LeBron James. What if he's more Charles Barkley? I mean, not that that isn't a bad thing. I mean, he'd be a really good player. I mean, he'd be a great player. Is he LeBron or is he Charles Barkley? I don't know. I mean, he's going to be a great player. Look, I have no doubt of that. And he's the most celebrated college basketball player, in my opinion, who's coming out of college basketball into the NBA since Patrick Ewing in 1985. I can't think of another college basketball player. There have been other players, obviously, with, you know, Kobe was very celebrated in high school, and so was LeBron celebrated in high school. But nobody celebrated like this was Zion Williamson. Zion Williamson is the most celebrated college basketball player since Patrick Ewing.
And another thing about it, a lot of people, whether they're correct or not, a lot of people have some concern with his size, his weight, because there are conflicting reports. Because I've heard on one hand that he's like runs around 275.
Mm-hmm, he does.
And some places say he's like 280.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know that when he gets into the NBA that he's going to be on a training regimen, all that other stuff, but he could run the risk of eating himself out of the NBA.
Yeah, could run that risk. Dinner bell mel, right?
You know what I mean? He could do that. So it's one of those things where I would rather keep what I have and what I know as opposed to going out there with the unknown.
Yeah, and I don't know why you would want. It's working so far. See, here's the thing. I mean, if you made the trade, I just think it's a fascinating idea that Andy came up with. If you made the trade, there would be an instant pop. We would all be going nuts here in town, and you might have people calling agents, calling you up, saying, "I want free agents." You know, but what if Zion? I'm not talking about, and we're not talking about injury. But what if Zion is just a very good player in the NBA when he gets up against other guys who can muscle him up? I think he's going to be a great player, but what if he's just a really good player? John Collins also, too, is a very good player. Mike at Stone Mountain, you're on with John and Hugh. Would you make that trade, or am I just out of my rocker saying, no, I wouldn't make the trade?
No, I'm with y'all, man. It just reminds me of the Cosby Show episode where Theo was making this big old speech about being a regular guy and not wanting to be successful in this, that, and the audience started clapping. I feel like Bill Cosby when he said, son, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, dude, I mean, I agree with y'all in terms of the fact that he may turn out to be good, but you've traded away the chemistry, you know, let alone what John Collins might be all, you know, yeah, he's not this, that, and other. He doesn't move the needle. But at the same time, you already built something. You know, why would you get rid of one of your foundational pieces to something? You don't know how far this Hawks team can go, but you're trying to get something that's shiny. This dude can end up being Larry Johnson, who was real good, but was Larry Johnson able to carry a team?
No, and that's the big unknown. I mean, it almost sounds like, thanks, I appreciate it, Mike and Stone Mountain. It almost sounds ridiculous to say you wouldn't do it.
Yeah. I know, because a lot of people are looking at this, John, and Zion has been talked about this whole tournament. He's been talked about even after the tournament. You know, he was on some YouTube with doing the big old dunk, like windmilling on somebody. But my thing is this. I would feel that if you traded away John Collins, everything that you worked for to build this season, the continuity, the chemistry, the fact that you've knocked off some pretty good teams this year, you bring in Zion Williams and you move him, you're starting back over, like you're starting this year all over again. But it's 2020 and you're starting it all over again. I don't think you should do that. I really don't think you should.
I don't think so either. I mean, is David Villa a better soccer player than Miggy Almiron? The answer, let's just say the answer to that is yes. Mm-hmm. Would you have traded Miggy Almiron last year during the year for David Villa? No, because why? Because Miggy and Joseph had chemistry.
Had great chemistry.
Right?
Had great chemistry.
Exactly. I mean, and Petey Martinez may be a better player. Maybe that's a better example than
Miggy.
That
is a much better example because Petey Martinez comes in with all these accolades. And for right now, they're having trouble building that chemistry. Correct. Now it's going to come. But you cannot quantify the chemistry factor when it comes to players and being able to read off of one another and just having that fluidity on the court. So, no, I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, Miles in Decatur with John and Hugh. Hey, Miles, would you make this trade? Are we out of our mind? Andy Bunker suggesting that, asking yesterday, and it was a great question, would the team with the number one pick, whoever that is, trade Zion Williamson for John Collins and the Hawks number one, or even I'll extend it out, Miles, John Collins and the Hawks number one and their number one if they get Dallas's pick?
Nah, I would absolutely not make that trade. And I told B-Mac this yesterday. I mean, you messing with chemistry with John. I mean, and that fourth pick can easily pan out to be better than Zion. I mean, come on now. And, like, you don't want to mess with the chemistry we got going on. John is a 20-10 guy who was proven in the NBA. I mean, you trade him for Zion. What do you think Zion will average? 25-15? No, it's not happening. Keep John. I don't even like that in the air, that trade.
He's not even like to talk about it. Hey, even talk about it.
I don't know that the fourth pick could be easily better than Zion. I honestly think that Zion Williams is a superstar. But that's just me. I think he's a superstar. He's a great player. And like I said, I think the only player, if I had the number one pick, and let's say that I'm the Knicks and people want to call up about the number one pick, the only player I would trade the number one pick for is the Greek Freak. That's it. He's the only guy. If Milwaukee called me and said they wanted Zion Williamson and they wanted the number one pick, I'd say, if you give me Antetokounmpo, yes. But aside from that, I wouldn't trade him for anybody else. Not Harden, not LeBron, no way. No, not at his age, no way. No way in heck. Not even close. No. LeBron, at his age, no. That mileage on him, nah.
He's played a lot of basketball. He's played a lot of basketball. And everybody's looking for the second coming of LeBron James. I think that if Zion Williams goes to New York, he's going to be great for the Knicks. He's going to be great
he's
for
gonna,
them.
He's going to be on billboards. He's
going to be great for the Knicks from a marketing standpoint. Still got to do it on the court, but I think he would be great for the city of New York.
You know, and who knows? You know, Zion Williamson goes to the Knicks, and which is probably going to happen anyway. And maybe the Knicks and the Hawks have some battles down the road, and that could be kind of a fun thing to look forward to in a couple of years.
They need something. The Knicks need something. And if it works out that way, I'm going to say that there's a conspiracy in basketball.
Last time the Knicks had something, John Starks was holding on to coach's ankles. And, you know, I mean, stuff like that. It's been a minute at Madison Square. All right. I mentioned the Braves have signed Acuna. Do they need to sign Ozzy now to a long-term deal? My answer is, of course they do. Will they? Joe Patrick, our Braves reporter, on the sweep of the Cubs and where the Braves stand as the Marlins come into town. He joins us next live after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
We're away with the Cubs once again on Thursday.
Swing and a high fly ball hammered to right. That's over the head of Segundis. One run will score. Ozzy on his way to third. It's a long single from McCann on a two-strike count, and Atlanta strikes first.
The call courtesy of Fox Sports South, and Nick Markakis gashed the Cubs with a couple of doubles in the fifth and ninth innings to put the game out of reach. Braves get the 9-4 win to move to 500 on the season. And the Hawks head to Orlando to take on a Magic team looking to end a six-year playoff drought. But Trae Young said the Hawks are looking to win their last three games of the season and maybe play spoiler in the process.
I mean, for us, only a couple more games left in the season. I want to finish out strong, finish on the right note, and being a team who's firmly in the playoffs, very good for us.
Wake up to a great breakfast value at McDonald's. Enjoy a delicious, freshly prepared McChicken biscuit or the sweet and savory taste of the new Chicken McGriddles, now just $1.39. Prices and participation may vary, cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Keeping you up to date on Atlanta sports when it happens, I'm Tanitra Batiste from the Kia Studios on your home for tonight's Hawks Magic game, tip-off at 7, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Now, more John and Hugh.
All right, let's have some fun.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
We are 20 days away from Nashville, Tennessee, where in 20 days the controversy over Lil Nas X and Billy Ray Cyrus will have died down and given way to a big stage with chopped out cherry trees and the National Football League draft.
So they're chopping down the cherry trees? No, that was. I don't think they're going to chop them down. They got to move them. I think that the NFL is going to do the right thing. They're going to move the trees. Don't chop them down. Do not chop them down.
If they chop them down, they're going to have problems.
Yeah.
Because the city of Nashville said, no, you got to dig those suckers up and replant them.
They're going to have some smoke. They're going to have some kind of smoke. So, no, they're not going to do that.
Yeah, not going to do it. Some of the NFL headlines. Hey, by the way, before we get into the NFL headlines, well, I guess this in a way is an NFL headline. Uniforms are always a discussion for whatever reason. And the Jets have gone back to like the Ken O'Brien era. Uniforms. Did you wear, I forget, were you a green helmet?
I wore a green helmet. I was a green helmet guy. I got traded right before they came with the new uniforms. I was a little mad about that too. I remember walking through the airport when I got traded. It was LaGuardia. And I remember they say, just unveil their new uniforms. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. But I was on my way to Philadelphia.
Where you were going to wear a green helmet.
Yeah. They went right back to the green, to a little bit darker green. But this green, it looks like it's probably a little bit darker. Or maybe it's the paint that they use. It's like a little shinier looking paint. But I like the green helmets for the Jets. As a matter of fact, I like the new uniforms. I really do.
Well, I'm glad they're going to look good. The question is, are they going to play any good?
Yeah, that's the thought process. You know, it's one of those things when teams change their colors, it's because they want to try to wash away the negative stench, and move into something different, and hopefully that's the case. You know, they got some players. They got some players, so hopefully they're going to be a much better team.
I don't know about you. I briefly lived in New York, and I know obviously you did. We both lived on Long Island, and so my experience was there's no set of fans in New York more aggrieved than Jets fans.
Yeah, they're long-suffering fans, man.
The two most suffering fans there are Islanders fans and Jets fans. Okay, yeah. Those two. Those two groups.
yeah. Living on Long Island, man, it was different. It was different. Living in New York is a different atmosphere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Living in New York is a different atmosphere. All right, some of the other stories that are out there. There's a weird story coming out of Dallas. Now, David Irving is not going to play football anymore because he wants to go be a pot farmer or something. Who knows? He's been, you know, basically suspended from the NFL for forever and a day because he likes to smoke the marijuana, which is fine. He went full Ricky Williams. And, you know, whether you think marijuana ought to be legalized in the NFL,
yeah,
it's not medicinal at the moment. And so there's this whole hullabaloo. All right, that's one issue. So David Irving out of the NFL. So he decides to do an interview on radio. And in the course of the interview, he basically says Jason Garrett has problems with black people. He says he is socially awkward around players of color, which is not usually a good thing for an NFL coach to be.
You know what's funny? It's when you hear this, people are going to automatically assume that you're saying that he's a racist. I didn't get that. There are some people who are socially awkward around certain individuals. And when I heard it, I kind of laughed a little bit. But it's unfortunate in this day and age when you hear that, that's the first thing that people go to.
All right, so let me put to you in perspective why Jason Garrett is – David Irving, first off, says he doesn't think he's racist, and I don't think he's racist either. I don't think you'd be a racist and be a coach.
Can't be.
But
not in the NFL.
Not in the NFL, not in the NBA, not in pro sports, or in college sports or any sport. But I will say this, I just don't think you can be. I was socially awkward around girls, all right? Didn't mean I hated girls. Didn't mean I was a sexist.
You just didn't know what to say. Just didn't know what to say.
A little socially awkward around girls.
I mean, and to that point, John, to this day, I can get a little like that. I can get a little shy, especially when it's somebody that you know you find highly attractive and you don't know what to say. You don't want to say the wrong thing. I mean, it's part of life. Now, to be socially awkward around players, maybe it was because you wanted to say something and you didn't know how the player was going to receive it, and that made it kind of a tense situation, because sometimes, especially when you're talking about cutting players, you have to, I think as a coach, you have to be able to relay the message the best way that you possibly can so that you won't get a negative reaction. That's a tough thing to do. It's a tough thing to cut a player. And I would think that would make it awkward in that sense. And then it's on top of that, you might have to cut somebody that you're kind of fond of, you know? So it's probably that situation as well. But I just can't see, you know, when I think of socially awkward in the way that he presented the story, was like when you walk through the training facility of the Dallas Cowboys and Coach Garrett sees, you know, African-American players, he's having a conversation. Then when they walk past, he just clams up a little bit because he doesn't know what to say. I don't see that happening. I just don't see him being that guy.
Yeah, well, and so that's one issue. The other issue, two of them revolve around the Green Bay Packers. One is, talk about awkward, Mike McCarthy, who's still just livid. I mean, he is so angry about the Packers firing him.
His feelings hurt.
Oh, he is still mad. Now there's a report out that Mike McCarthy was missing team. This is the report that McCarthy was missing team meetings because he was in his office getting massages. No, he wasn't going to the Orchids of Asia. He was in his office getting massages and was missing team meetings because of this. And now he's livid all over again. He just is, you know, beside himself. Don't you know what I did for you? Now, of course, everybody believes that, at least most people believe, that Aaron Rodgers drove Mike McCarthy out, that those two didn't get
along.
That was the conversation
that was being had, yes.
Okay. All right, so that he drove him out. And then the second story also out today is that when Aaron Rodgers was informed of who the new head coach is going to be, of course, the guy that we know a little bit around here, you know, Matt LaFleur, who when the former quarterback's coach of the Atlanta Falcons, but has not been a head coach before, that when he was told, because obviously I think Aaron Rodgers wanted to drive Mike McCarthy out and then pick his own guy. When they informed Aaron Rodgers that Matt LaFleur had been hired as head coach, the guy had to say to Aaron, hey, we've hired Matt LaFleur as our head coach. And Aaron paused and looked at him, and he said, the guy who was telling Aaron said, had to say to him, don't be a problem, Aaron. Don't be a problem. Don't be a problem, Aaron.
I kind of believe that.
Yeah, I
kind of believe that a little bit.
I believe it,
too. When there's smoke, there's fire. And you heard when Mike McCarthy came out with his report and he was talking about his time with the Green Bay Packers. He didn't throw rocks. He didn't throw rocks at anybody. He kind of left on, like, you know, he told his story and he kept it moving. He didn't say anything negative about Aaron Rodgers. He basically said, no, it's like any relationship, which I think as adults we kind of get, because you have relationships where there are good times and there are bad times. I mean, that's just a whole part of, you know, dealing with somebody, working with somebody for as long as they work with one another. But right after that story comes out, then you have the negative stories coming out about Coach McCarthy. and saying that, you know, he was taking massages and wasn't taking his meeting, you know, serious, and how Aaron Rodgers was changing plays and all this other stuff and not going to bat for certain players. Now, I've said this on this radio station several times. It's the quarterback and it's everybody else. Quarterback has management's ear more than anybody else in that building. That's a player. They have it, and that's just how it is. That's the way it's set up. If you ever get into a situation where it's the quarterback and it's a player or a coach or somebody, quarterback usually wins that battle. This is the same thing that happened in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers won that battle. Aaron Rodgers won that battle. But it's going to be interesting to see with Coach LaFleur coming in there now and Aaron Rodgers with this report coming out that Aaron Rodgers had a long pause, how their relationship is going to go.
All right, so now this is Aaron Rodgers, and I'm going to tell you what I don't know. I don't know Aaron personally, so I don't know. I mean, we know the stories of him being estranged from his family. He doesn't talk to his family at all, hasn't spoken to him in years. We know that he, you know, didn't had a problem with Mike McCarthy. You know, for all maybe Aaron's got some relationship issues. I mean, I don't know. There's something there, right? We all understand that. I'm not trying to point fingers at him because it can't all be him. It takes two to tango, but at the same time, there's something there, right? So it seems to me you get these quarterbacks, just two quarterbacks themselves. You have these two different types of quarterbacks in the NFL. You have these quarterbacks like Ben Roethlisberger and Aaron Rodgers who are absolute, this I could say, they're control freaks. They're absolute control freaks. They want to be in charge and they want to control things because that's obvious to everybody versus the quarterbacks who aren't necessarily control freaks, but work with people, work with the team. Now, I'm not saying that isn't a way to be because we've seen other quarterbacks as control freaks have phenomenal success. And guess what? They've got Super Bowl rings.
I will say this, John. Mostly every quarterback is like that because you have to be. Because let me tell you one thing about it is no matter what happens, it's your fault. It's your fault. And you're the one that's going to have to answer for whatever the offense is doing. So to a certain extent, you are a control freak. Now, there are some quarterbacks who are better than others. Now, I'll say for our quarterback, Matt Ryan, I think he's a pretty good guy. I haven't been in the huddle with him. I'm not his teammate. But the vibe that I get from Matt when I talk to Matt is that he's a really good guy. But he's still a quarterback. And if things aren't going right, Matt's going to let you know. Because like I said, he's the one that's going to have to sit up there in front of everybody and answer questions and fall on his sword if need be and tell you what's going on with his offense. But there are some quarterbacks that when it goes south, they're pointing the fingers at everybody else but themselves. Now, I've been around quarterbacks like that too. So it's one of those things where with quarterbacks, there's a certain way that they are that's universal for all guys that play that position. And to be a control freak and control your environment, I would say all quarterbacks are like
that. All right, so I guess, yeah, because Ben Roethlisberger is more, from what we understand, more the latter what you were talking about because he goes out and starts pointing fingers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because you hear it. Like this is the one thing that I've always respected from Matt Ryan when you hear him in the press conferences. He always says it's on me or it's my fault, I got to do a better job. He never says, well, you know, the offense, da-da-da. It's always about him. And I think that's important when you're a quarterback because a lot of quarterbacks, man, as you know, you just sit and listen to press conferences. And when they talk about what happened, they'll talk about it in general terms. At least Matt Ryan gets up there and he'll talk about it like he's a me guy. It's on me.
You can join 9 to 9 the game today, 2 to 7. Dukes of Bell going to be broadcasting live, Twin Peaks and Buckhead. Stop by Twin Peaks and Buckhead. Enter a chance to win UFC 236 tickets courtesy of Metro by T-Mobile. UFC 236 tickets. Free from Metro by T-Mobile and Hawks Pacers tickets for Fan Appreciation Night next Wednesday on April the 10th, courtesy of 92.9 The Game. That's with Dukes of Bell, 2 to 7 today at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Up next, Florida. Shots fired by the Florida Gators towards the Georgia Bulldogs in football. Do you hear this? Oh, we got it. We'll tell you what it is next with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
It's shots gone!
United are back in action.
As they kick off Season 3.
Catch every game here all season long.
Our MLS Cup champion Atlanta United play here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with Johnny on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. on this rainy, wet Friday. Hope you have a busy weekend ahead. Hey, a lot of football to discuss here ahead of the Final Four, which we'll get back into at the top of the hour. Talk to you more about our poll at 929thegame.com this morning, asking you what title match you want to see on Monday night in the Final Four. Well, here it is, April, Hugh. It is spring game time. Georgia State spring game is next week. On the 20th, we'll be in Athens for G-Day for the Red and Black. 26th, maybe the most anticipated Georgia Tech spring game, T-Day, in a long, long time on Friday the 26th at Bobby Dodd Stadium down in the Flats. Through all this, there's no reason to not have a little bit of fun and a little bit of controversy, and Dan Mullen supplied that to us in spades yesterday when he decided to take to the airwaves and fire shots at Georgia. Now, you know the story about Georgia's scheduling. They just got done with a deal in the future for Florida State. They're trying to schedule Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Right? And they're going to be playing Clemson, and they're upping their non-conference schedule. And Dan Mullen decided in the radio interview to say this about Georgia scheduling Florida State. Dan Mullen says, this is the head coach of the Florida Gators, "We play Florida State, so people are trying to catch up to us with how tough our schedule is. To be honest with you, we play Florida State every year, right? Georgia is playing them. They're trying to catch up to us, I guess, toughen their schedule." Okay. Yeah.
Is that kind of a diss, though?
A little bit.
You think so?
Yep. Saying that Georgia's been playing a weaky schedule, and we play Florida State every year. Oh, Georgia's trying to catch up to us. It's a little shot at Georgia Tech, too.
I guess. I mean, I guess you could consider that a shot. Nah, not really. I don't think so. I mean, Georgia has to strengthen up their schedule because they've been getting a little razz about that, about the fact that they haven't been playing a tough schedule. But when you look at it, last time I checked, didn't Georgia win the Florida Georgia game?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they did.
They did win the Florida Georgia game. So I mean, it's like I would look at that, and I that would not move my meter, especially with somebody I just beat up.
Here's a couple of things here. Number one, what's Florida's non-conference schedule this year? They're going to play Miami this year and renew that rivalry, and they're going to play Florida State, okay? So they're playing the Hurricanes and they're playing the Seminoles. They're also playing Northern Colorado, okay? For those of you who don't know where Northern Colorado is, it's in, take a wild guess.
Northern Colorado?
Greeley, north of Denver, yeah. The Bears of Northern Colorado. They're also playing Tennessee Martin, the Skyhawks of UT Martin. Not exactly a murderer's row, okay? Now, Georgia's going to be playing Notre Dame and Georgia Tech, so we'll call this a wash because their other two games are against Murray State, and John Morant's already decided he's going pro, and Arkansas State. Those are their two other non-conference games. Here's another thing. I want to go back and check this, but I can't tell you the last time, and I say this only because if Dan Mullen's going to take shots at Georgia, I'm going to defend Georgia a little bit, even though I'm not a Georgia fan, per se. When was the last time the Florida Gators played a big non-conference game outside the state of Florida that wasn't, the Michigan game on a neutral field? When was the last time they went to, like, Oklahoma, or they went to Texas for a road game?
You mean in hostile territory?
Yes, into hostile territory. When was the last time they did that? Because without looking, I'm going to say it's been 30 years. They never, ever, ever leave the state for a big game out of conference.
I was just told, Abe just told me, what was it, 1991 Syracuse? That was the last time? Syracuse?
That counts.
So you like the, you, so what you're basically saying is that Florida likes to have a little home cooking if they have a big game because they need that fan support.
They don't want to leave the state of Florida, that's for damn sure. You know, the only time I can think of they played a non-conference game outside was when they played one of these kickoff classic things, like when they played Michigan here. And, aside from that, I mean, when's Florida ever gone to, like, you know, Wisconsin? Never. You know, when have they gone to Ohio State? You know, don't tell me about that. At least Georgia travels, right? Georgia goes.
Yeah, they will go. They will go in the Lions. They will definitely go in the Lions then.
Right.
Yeah, a couple years ago. Yeah, they definitely will go in the Lions then.
Right. They went to Notre Dame, and now they're going to be going to Oklahoma. They're going to be going to UCLA and playing in Los Angeles in the Coliseum, rather in the Rose Bowl. And so, no, they'll go into the Lions then. Oh, UCLA's no good. Watch how good UCLA is this year. They're going to be pretty good.
No, you know, it's funny because I'm looking at Florida's schedule, and they have like three. If you count the true bye weeks where they're not actually not playing anybody and not the games that they're playing somebody, they got three bye weeks. And then if you throw in the games that they're playing, like the Townsend Tigers and UT Martin that you talked about, they got like five bye weeks in their whole season, like basically. So they're going to be, whatever they have, they're going to be rested when they get out there on the field.
Yeah, I don't think the point is that Florida can't be taking shots at anybody else.
And I really, like I said, I really don't think that's a shot, especially when you look at the schedule that they have. I really don't think that's a shot. I just think he was just sitting there trying to, you know, I don't know.
I think it's a shot. I think it's a direct shot. He's just trying to pump up the rivalry, and he's doing a good job of it. We'll see how this all works. You know, and I hope, you know, for the sake of history, because everything changes and everything has its time, but I really hope they do not move the Florida-Georgia game out of Jacksonville. I really hope. I mean, I know they've talked about it. They moved the Iron Bowl.
Where would they move it to?
The home and home.
No. I think that with – that would not be a smart move because of – number one, the logistics for everybody involved. Mm-hmm. I know it's, you know, it's closer, obviously, for Florida, but and I just think the property in which the game is played on, because what I remember about it when I was in Jacksonville, the week of the game, the Winnebagoes were out there the week of the game. Like, they came in like on a Tuesday. The people came in on a Tuesday. So if you have it at home and home, would the campus be able to house or hold all those people on campus during that whole week leading up to the game?
Well, it's just the history of it. I mean, there are only three games that I know of that have been played historically at neutral sites among the major colleges, this one being one of them, the Iron Bowl being the other, but they changed that. It used to be, Hugh, it was every year Legion Field, right? And now it's a home-and-home game. And then the only other game that is historically on a neutral field every year is Army-Navy.
So my man Johnny Rutledge chimes in. He listens to the show. What's up, J-Rudd? He said, we don't have to leave home to bless someone at their place. They come to us.
All right. College football. Here we go.
I had a feeling he was going to chime in, and right on cue, he did.
You know, I started thinking about G-Day. All I think about is the broadcast. I think about the Grindhouse Burgers. Johnny, fire up the grill. We're coming up to Athens. We want one of them Grindhouse Burgers. Final four, who do you think is going to be the two teams left standing? We're going to ask you that next. And hear from the coaches as we continue counting down towards the big day tomorrow in Minneapolis on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.